Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Help us, Father, to do your will. Help us to follow your path. Give our brothers in Mexico grace, and help us to have the same grace here. Fill us with your wisdom. In Jesus' name, amen. Greet you this morning in Jesus' name. The text I want to begin with is Romans chapter 1. Start in let's start in 9. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers, making request, if by any means now at length I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end you may be established, that is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith both of you and me. Now I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oftentimes I purposed to come unto you, but was let hitherto, that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles. I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Stop there. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. This week, Brother David learned that we as a church were taken off of some fellowship finder or something. That Mike Atnep puts together, and he called Mike Atnep And he said that he learned about this, and he told Mike, he said, "Mike, I just want to explain to you what we believe about salvation just very clearly." And he began to explain to him. Mike asked him some things about, but what about born again, and I'm paraphrasing, putting this in my own words because I don't know for sure all the words. I wasn't there, but and he said, "What about when the Spirit comes in? I've heard that you guys say that the Spirit, you gotta live it, you know, and then start going to church, and then the Spirit comes in sometime." David just explained where we were at with those things. And he was just, "Oh, I'm so glad to hear you say that. I just appreciate you calling and glad for that. Oh, I'm just glad for that." And he said, "Yeah, we just, you know, after some talk, we just didn't think that we could support what you all were doing down there, so that's why we took you off of that." And he said, "It's just so relieved that David cleared this up." And and after a little while in the conversation, he said, "If you could find the courage to call Dean Taylor and just tell him what you've told me." He said, "What's his number?" And he said, "Well, he doesn't even answer my emails part of the time." And he said, he was ready to call him. I mean, what do you mean courage? What's that got to do with it? You know, he didn't say that, but like, courage to call this man? You'd never talked to him before? I mean, just never was a need to, I guess, or never was contact made there. But anyway, I got to thinking, what? Who is this man? The courage to call a man and talk to him about where we stand on salvation? Why does Mike think we need to muster up this courage to call? So anyway, about an hour later, he sent David an email with Dean's number on it and said that he had talked to Dean. Dean wasn't too interested in talking to David at first. Then he told him what David had told Mike. And Mike just went on in the email and said, if you would speak to him in the tone that you spoke to me in, that would be a blessing or something. I don't know how he said it exactly. And it's just like, what are we doing? Calling somebody and making confession for something? What do we have to confess? And I just thought of this verse. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. That's the power of God, is the gospel of Christ. People are running around wanting the power of God and talking about the power of God and God's power being on your life and in your life and not linking it to the gospel of Christ. But some more and some less. And it's just and so that's what I thought I would talk about this morning, is the gospel of Christ and the power of the gospel. And we think, well, what is the gospel? Everybody says, yeah, it's the good news. Okay, well, yeah, it is good news. But what kind of good news are we talking about? Well, the good news that because of Jesus, you can overcome Satan and live lives pleasing to God. But the modern gospel, we say modern, we can say contemporary, we can say false, we can say evangelical gospel, we can say whatever of those labels would work. The good news is, because of Jesus, God sees you as holy, not as a sinner you really are. See the difference? And we talk about these things quite a bit here. Praise the Lord. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We went to Tulsa last night, and I told one of the brethren, I said, when something's going on like this, that's what I'm going to preach about if I preach. And that's what David preaches about when he preaches. I can't talk about the size and color of head coverings when there's something. I'm just not going to. I guess I could talk about. I talked with David about it. He called me this morning, texted him and asked him to call. Told him what I was going to talk about. He said, well, I guess you could talk about the weather and how nice the rain has been and how that the Lord blesses us and gives us rain. It's been a real blessing. And all those things are beautiful and true, aren't they? They are true. That is beautiful. It's been a blessing to have rain. But we're in a warfare, whether it's raining or whether it isn't. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully. But by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, this gospel we're talking about, the one that enables a man to free himself by the gospel of Christ, or be freed, however you want to word that, from the dominion and the domain of Satan. And if that gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. Is that my body, your body, or is that the body? But anyway, whichever it is, this is the gospel we're talking about, the glorious gospel of Christ. Not the gospel that needs leadership conferences, revival after revival, Bible schools and mission programs and monthly magazines and periodicals and rule books and standards and a host of other activities and bureaucracy to keep it alive. Our gospel needs Christ and each other. And we meet together one day a week for mutual encouragement and fellowship, and we take communion together and we have a love feast together. Yeah, we need to assemble ourselves together. It's good for us. It keeps us in the gospel. It keeps us seeing things clearly. But when we begin to assemble ourselves together without the clarity of the truth, and we need all those other things. I went to an auction yesterday. It was a church auction. The First Christian Church in Aurora is closing. It's closed. It's done after 140 years. finished. It's over with. Huge building. Lots and lots of stuff. We bought some chairs for the church here, 30 chairs. Some cups and some stuff for us. Bookshelves, desks, stuff like that. There was a group there from the history. Yeah, what's that called? The program that they put on TV.
History Channel.
History Channel. It had a guy there with a camera and two or three people there. Videoing this. They're going to make a documentary called something like The Close of the American Church. And they were interviewing people just randomly. And they never asked me to talk to them. But I thought, isn't that interesting? Close of the American Church. And as I was looking through the stuff around there, I saw these pamphlets and these booklets, these folders, these boxes and boxes and boxes of curriculum and Sunday school stuff and these. Beyond that, there were betterment programs, how to be accepted into this, how to get out of this in your life, and about like AA or. OA or whatever, but it wasn't those things. It was some similar programs to get on your feet and get with life or whatever. Just and these were like aged from like the 70s up to present. And when a lot of that started becoming popular, and they were dead. They knew it, and they needed something to help them look alive. And then as I was looking through some of the stuff, I noticed a safe. That safe stood about this tall, 2.5 foot tall, and about 2 foot wide, 2 foot deep, maybe not quite that big, on wheels, roll around. And we were just looking around the stuff before it sold, and I asked the guy, what would a church, he was looking at it, I said, what would a church need a safe for? He said, I guess keep their gold Bible in. And I said, that's... It's no wonder it failed. I said, this is why it failed. This is one of the reasons it failed. And a lady heard me say that. She didn't comment. It's just ridiculous. I mean, it's just, what do you need a safe for? And all that other stuff. They need all that to keep it alive, to keep it looking alive. Thinking about the gospel of Christ, thinking about the gospel that sets free and gives enabling power to live above this world. Not that you never fail. Not that you never make a mistake. We deal with this all the time on the streets. Well, don't you make mistakes? Yes. You know, but we don't intentionally go into sin or live lives that way. But the gospel today, who would be ashamed of it? Who'd be ashamed of the gospel, today's gospel? Why would you? It's so palatable, it's non-abrasive, it's kind, it's sweet, it's soft-spoken, it's attractive, and very accommodating. It sounds so much like a woman's gospel. No offense, sisters. But it's just so unlike Christ. And yet, it is the bride of Christ, but we, as men of the bride of Christ, ought to be like Christ. And He was pretty abrasive sometimes, many times, bold and strong and often abrasive, and yet pitiful as a father pitieth his son. He was rough and pretty unattractive. The Bible says he was uncomely. We should not desire him. The perverted world doesn't even recognize that as gospel. But this is why it's the power of God. Because it's like Jesus was. This is the kind of gospel that leads to salvation. We preach not ourselves, but the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the self-denying, cross-bearing, life-giving gospel that's the glorious one. There's some connection between that question, if you could find the courage to call him, and the immediate response of our faithful brother, what's his phone number? I don't know what he expected. Did he expect him to say, yeah, I'll think about that, I'll pray about that, I'll consider that for a couple of months, and I might muster up the courage to call that guy and confess, I guess. I mean, I don't know what David said. What am I supposed to do? Confess? Confess what? What are we ashamed of? I have a list here of some differences between the gospel of Christ and the contemporary gospel. Let's go through these. Okay. Okay. That our gospel was a reactionary gospel.
Yeah, we're just reacting.
Okay. So that's what led them to disclaim us.
I don't remember the whole thing.
Yeah.
When David was trying to explain the gospel we're preaching, there was some questions about God. What you just said about the born-again experience, and David said we just hear that all the time, and then we were warned to be careful not to react, or that the reason why we're excluding an emphasis on certain things is just because we're reacting.
Yeah. Well, I don't know about all that, but I know that we found some light, we found some truth, and we're walking in it, and that looks pretty reactionary. To some people, looks pretty aggressive. The gospel of Christ changes greedy tax collectors into self-sacrificing followers and then leaders. But the contemporary gospel changes greedy tax collectors into religious greedy tax collectors. The gospel of Christ makes respected leaders become a stench to those that knew him before. Today's gospel makes respected leaders, period. I was told once by a man that most of you know here in town I used to work with. He said, one of the reasons he goes to church is because he learned a long time ago that people that go to church succeed in life. The gospel of Christ makes a harlot a mother in Israel. Today's gospel makes a harlot a celebrity. The gospel of Christ changes adulterous relationships into God-honoring lives. Today's gospel accepts adulterous relationships and pretends that God honors them. The gospel of Christ causes the rich to forsake his riches in pursuit of greater value. gospel of man admires men of wealth, holding them in high esteem. The gospel of Christ makes the poor rich and the rich poor. The contemporary gospel makes the rich proud and the poor dependent. The gospel of Christ cleanses the temple of God. False gospel decorates it. The gospel of Christ clothes the naked and gives soundness of mind. False gospel reveals the body and defiles the mind and conscience. The gospel of Christ loves its enemies and seeks their good. And the gospel that's not a gospel hates its enemies and justifies such hatred. The gospel of Christ needs no oath to confirm the truth. With the false gospel, they're an oath enough to confirm their lack of truth. The gospel of Christ sees a clear distinction between the kingdom of this world and the kingdom of Christ. The false gospel, there's clearly no distinction. The gospel of Christ causes, while they may not say everything right, they rise up and follow. False gospel confesses everything they can think of and learns much and never comes to the knowledge of the truth. The gospel of Christ sets men free, but because the false gospel can't set men free, they're corralled by their ministers. Or, on the other hand, an evangelical Protestant church is continually given pep talks, power, pep rallies, and so on. The gospel of Christ gives the power to become the sons of God. Contemporary gospel is powerless to become the sons of God, but is content just to ask forgiveness. The gospel of Christ makes fishers of men. The other gospel makes a lot of talk about fishing. The gospel of Christ stands before kings. The other gets stood before by the faithful. The gospel of Christ storms hell's gates. False gospel trembles helplessly, looking for a better program, another way to get through this present catastrophe. Oh, and by the way, this documentary, one of the ideas behind them doing that is to see what they can do to remedy the problem. It needs to die. It's dead. Let it fall. The gospel of Christ believes the Bible and obeys it without worshiping it. The false gospel says it believes it without obeying it, but venerates it. The gospel of Christ takes Christ as its captain. The modern gospel thinks Christ is their buddy. The gospel of Christ accepts the terms and embraces the outcome. Contemporary gospel makes its own terms and supposes its outcome. The gospel of Christ causes love to be the rule of conduct. The other one talks of love a lot but fails its fellow man. The gospel of Christ has a good report of those without, yet treated as the filth and off-scouring of the earth. The contemporary gospel has a bad report of those around, yet treated as one of their own. The gospel of Christ calls men out of this world. The other one patches up men to become better citizens in this world. The gospel of Christ sets a man at variance with his family and friends. The false gospel has all kinds of programs to make them be at peace with their friends and family. The gospel of Christ causes men to yield their goods to be used of the brethren. The other gospel causes men to hoard their goods for himself or relinquishes them all. The gospel of Christ causes men to be responsible for themselves and competent. The false gospel either blames someone else for their problems and or takes all potential problems away. Those are just some things. You can go on with that list all you want. It's just good to see some clear differences sometimes. Today's gospel would tell a man, good news, I'm going to pay your debts, shine you up, and God's not going to be mad at you anymore because of what I've done. Well, that's phony. That's That's not a change. That's just a change of status. We don't have anything to be ashamed of. We can be bold and stand for our God. It's still the same gospel they're embracing. The Methodists made it stricter in the 1800s, 1800s. And the holiness group came along at the end of the Methodist era and added even more holiness. The Mennonites came along about that time too and added plain clothes and non-resistance. Charity took up the strain in the 80s and joined holiness group with the Pentecostal movement, added that to the same message. And now, the remnants of the remnant are adding community to it to try to keep it going and alive. But it's the same old gospel, which is not another. Into Galatians chapter 1. Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead, and all the brethren which are with me, unto the churches of Galatia. Grace be to you, and peace from God the Father, and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for our sins, that He might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father. That's the gospel, in verse 4. He gave Himself for our sins, that He might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father. Now you can skew that and say that, see, He just paid for our sins and we're not going to be delivered from this till we die or He comes for us and then we can go, and that's according to the will of the Father. Or you can say, He gave Himself for us because we were bound to Satan because we have yielded to sin, so He could deliver us from this evil, present evil world, not deliver us from this world sometime in the future. And that's according to the will of God. Jesus Christ was manifested to destroy the power of Satan. That's why He was made man. To whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. I marvel that ye are so soon removed from Him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet pleased men, I should not be a servant of Christ. All we'd have to do to be accepted again is David call and apologize to Dean or to any one of those leading whatever men they are. I know not. It doesn't make me any difference, really. I mean, I'm not trying to dishonor man, but what is man? We're just men. I can't imagine somebody being afraid to call Brother David. Can you? Nicodemus was afraid to talk to Christ, so he did it at night. But was he afraid of Jesus? Or was he afraid of what the Jews are going to say if they saw him? He wasn't afraid of Jesus. Jesus answered all his calls and emails. Jesus healed all that came to him. Jesus wasn't too busy. What's he busy with? Can't answer emails or calls. And he might want to talk to somebody. Yeah, just maybe. What's the... I don't... I'm not ashamed of this gospel that we preach and teach. People say, well, just can't get around it that, you know, why don't you have more fellowship with other people? You mean other people that are preaching another gospel? What do we mean? Where are we at? The gospel that is perverted and allows more and more and more sin? It's not going to be long. Well, it already is an issue. Homosexuality in plain circles is an issue and has been for years. But it's no wonder they have a feminist gospel. I at least appreciate the Mennonites I was with requiring a man to have a beard. That's the way God made him. But, I mean, I hear of hair nets that men sleep in so their hair is just perfect the next morning. Mennonite churches. And I'm not... It's just... What's going to happen? We're going to start seeing further and further perversion and drift as this gospel actually lives itself out. Not just in anybody, whoever it is. And yet, why are we... Here we are at the end of the age, and when we read of this, there was one church in Galatia that was going back to Judaism and to another gospel, which was not a gospel. And there were some other churches having problems, but the bulk of the Christian church had the truth and was following it. Now we're on the other side of that, and we're grappling, trying to see light and keep light in view among all this nonsense that's called gospel. And we're the bad guys. Oh well. So it is. If you could find the courage. Praise the Lord, we found the courage. We found the courage to pick up the torch of the gospel of Christ and find fellowship with those in the past that have also carried that torch, and find fellowship with any that we can find fellowship around the earth that are carrying that torch or even wanting to carry it, even seeing a glimmer of light to carry it, even finding a smoking flax and a bruised reed. We love that. We're not trying to be top dog here. We're not trying to be the only ones. But we're not going to, so we not look that way, sacrifice truth so we don't look that way and act like it's all right. Listen, if we got fellowship, we got it. If we don't, we don't. And I'm not ashamed of that. I don't care. I said 20 years ago, I'd rather have 5 people that want to serve Jesus than 500 just to fill a church. And if that's what it means, that's what it means. Praise the Lord for the gospel that sets men free. Not free to live in sin, but free to live above it. Praise the Lord for the truth. And I mean, it's just a blessing. You can go, it's free. You go everywhere, anywhere with it. And it works the same way. It's not bound in these four walls. But let's keep it here at least. Let's pray for our brother David. He's under constant scrutiny and attack by those around. Pray that he'd be strong and faithful. I really appreciate his wisdom, his ability to just let water roll off like on a duck's back a lot of times. It's a blessing to learn that. You know, I tend to let things get to me a little more than he does. So, let's pray for one another. Keep the glorious gospel of Christ ever in view. it doesn't need your help to stand. It'll stand all by itself. All it needs you for is to give it to somebody else. It doesn't need your support, your extra rules, or your taking away from it or adding to it. It doesn't even need you at all. It's a privilege for you to give it, to be handed to, for it to be put into your hands and me. It's a privilege for us all that we even can see this thing a little bit. But this, that's the gospel that saves. That's the gospel that delivers unto God, unto salvation. Any other gospel is going to be false, and judgment will reveal it. And time is already revealing very, very much of it. So that's what I have. Let's pray. Father, we thank You, Lord, and we love You. We ask that You help us to be faithful in carrying this, the treasure that is sold all, found in the field, and we sold all and bought the field. That means selling our friendships, our acquaintances, our lives before our families. I mean selling all because of this great treasure. It's greater. And we've esteemed it more valuable than anything else in even our own lives. Thank You, Lord. Thank You that we can see the difference between that and this false gospel that's a dime a dozen on every street corner, that you don't have to sell anything to get. Bless our brethren. Bless each one of us here, brothers and sisters and our children. Help us to be faithful Christians. Forgive us where we have failed. Help us to realize that we are but earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of You and not of us. But we'll stand for You with all the strength that we have. We'll give You our best. In Jesus' name, amen. Welcome your thoughts, additions, or corrections.
Let us go forth, therefore, to Him without account,
bearing his reproach. How David has tried to, ever since, even like in the Methodist, he's tried to speak to people and had a message that he wanted to share. But almost no one would hear it. And the Mennonites, the same way, he had a message that he thought he wanted to share, but in the end, after the Mennonites, there was hardly anybody that wanted to hear it. And then now, here, looking at it, different people, like in the Baptist conferences, charity, or all these different people, we have a message that we think would benefit, that would be a benefit, that's necessary, that's vital for people to hear. Nobody wants to hear it. Only a few people that are really, only the people that really want to hear it and are willing to go for it. And all you can, wherever you go, those are the ones that want to hear it. Everyone that just wants to accept it, just wants to hear it. Most people just don't want to hear it.
That reminds me of what Paul says. It's not the wise and the sophisticated and the righteous. It's the weak, beggarly, poor things of this world that hear. And I've been lately encouraged just the simpleness of the weak and the beggarly, and how honest and raw and how they will change if you just go to them. And the converse, these very nice hair-knitted men with their beautiful manicured fingers and hands and hair, shaven face, nice, beautiful houses all finished out perfectly, and they know everything about what Paul says, and at least what, how Calvin describes it. Whether they're Mennonite or not, they just don't know what Calvin taught. They just don't realize it. And they would go to certain places just because, what if we give the appearance of being wrong? Jesus was all about giving the appearance of what's wrong all the time. And it just reminds me of that. That's bearing the reproach. People not understanding and just smelling. Just like talking to people and coming away with some of that stench.
And there's been several times where David, it seemed like someone was going to take his message or was hearing the message, and they were hopeful. They're understanding that they're going to be able to teach this to people around them, but they took what he was preaching and put it in a nice book with a beautiful cover and those sketches and diagrams and pictures and charts and just made it all acceptable.
Yeah, that's, he and I were talking about that this week, that this way is not to be, you can't explain it theologically. It's not going to work. It has to be lived. I mean, you're not going to call somebody up and just explain it to them, and they're going to get it. This doesn't happen that way. Very seldom, if any, does it happen that way. I mean, you see some truth in it and see some things they want to embrace. I think that's the way it was with all of us, myself included. We just, hey, this is true. I'm going to walk in this light. And then we begin to see more and more, and our eyes begin to be open to these things. It's just a... That's where we're at. Anyone else?
Some of my experience living among those people that don't really want to hear or say something, what they do is they react against David, and they bring up things from way back that he did wrong. I face that all the time. Just get battered with things. Things that were some kind of a failure that we can pick up against them, against us or anything.
We're in the earthen vessel.
Just to try and worry it down.
I mean, we don't say everything right. Did you understand what I said about the that reminded me that portion I said that the gospel of Christ may not say everything just right, but it follows. And the false gospel gets every sin confessed, everything done, gets everything taken care of. Remember how they used to really stress that in charity. You get all, everything you possibly think. Go through hours of confession. David went through that with Andy Zielinski and one guy down in Mexico. He was going to get baptized the next evening and went out with his buddies and didn't even show up for baptism. They went, I think, 3 or 4 hours maybe. I don't know how many hours. 3 hours, I think, of confession and really praying earnestly. He got up and he didn't walk. And then you have other people that's, Lord, I'm going to follow you. And rough as a cob, and yet following Jesus. You know? And may have not even thought to confess their sins. Oh. And then later, Lord, I'm sorry the way I was back then. You know? It's just like the parable or the story Jesus told of, the two boys that the father asked him to go work in the fields. Very much like that. We're not saying that we say everything just right, that we do everything just perfect. But we're not talking about that. We're talking about a direction. We're talking about a vision. We're talking about sight. We're talking about seeing the glorious kingdom of God and pressing into that. That's what we're talking about. That's what we have to keep in view. I myself am probably the worst among us, maybe. I don't want to be proud of that. But focusing on the little faults that I do. I mean, it's tough sometimes. But I have to even put that aside and say, wait a minute, I'm following the King. It's not about me. It's about Him. Anyone else?
A couple of verses here from Jesus. I have come in my Father's name, and ye receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him ye will receive. How can ye believe which receive honor one of another, and seek not the honor that cometh from God? Keeping our focus on the King, following Him, that's it.
Amen. Who are you? Just followers of Jesus.
I had a thought one year last. One of the last things you said there was that this gospel stands on itself without propping it up or trying to make it look alive or whatever we try to do. And there's a cross we carry. It's not an easy path to follow. It's not an easy path to travel. And I have to think of this account in 2 Samuel 6. I'm sure you're all probably familiar with it, how David was bringing the ark to Jerusalem. And they put it on a wagon and carried it with pulled it with oxen, which, if I remember right, was not what David was supposed to do with the ark. It was supposed to carry it. But I suppose they thought it would be easier to put it on a wagon or a cart. And when they brought it up on a threshing floor, the thing started to wobble. And Uzzah put his hand, his arm of flesh up there to stabilize it, and God closed him on the side. And I think that's what can happen when we try to make the way easier by taking the cart out and
coming
up with all kinds of man's glamour or carts or whatever, and the thing will start to wobble. And then we put out fleshy things to try to stabilize it.
Amen. Amen.
I just ask the Lord to pray for me. I'm probably not taking up my small possessions, rejoicing in it. You know, get all that, whatever it all is, that's my cross.
Amen. Let's pray for Brother Joe and pray for one another. Pray for me that I'd be a godly example to my family, and I mean my own family, my immediate family. I mean, we work every day. We are busy, especially this time of the year. It's the hardest, seemingly, for me to just feel spiritual. And that's not what we're trying to do, I know. But it just, you know how, I'm just opening up to you. It's just, you know, I'm tired a lot. I'm working a lot. And I just, I don't know. Let's just pray that we keep focused. It's not about feeling spiritual. I don't take that and run with it. It's just that that's just the tendency that we think about sometimes. But it just, we all are facing things. We're all in a battle. Some of us are facing different issues, completely different things, but we all need to remember each other. Anyone else? All right. I guess we'll meet together again here at 6. Lord bless you.